Open Championship is his number one major. I got to know. So we go up to Las Vegas, our good buddy Todd Furman. Ty, what are the, I guess, over there you can actually bet on the Open at the sports books. Is that correct?
Oh, heck yeah.
Nobody bets sports in Las Vegas, Peter. Come on, you know that.
No,
it's purely for entertainment value only.
But I'm talking about like in London and England and Scotland. That is a big thing because I've always heard stories about golfers putting a small pound wager on themselves to win the Open Championship.
It's definitely a much different part of the culture, not only throughout UK and most of Europe, but the rest of the world, namely not the United States. When you talk about the proliferation of betting shops that are available, whether it's your corner bookmaker, whether it's online, there are so many different ways to try and get your action fix wherever possible. And you actually see it at the Open. Sometimes they'll show a lot of the bookmakers that are standing out front, allowing people to place their wagers as they go into these events.
Wow.
It adds that extra level of excitement, and it really, you know, creates a different feeling for the sporting event. I'll speak from personal experience. I spent a semester down in Australia, and I was able to bet the rugby games I was attending at the stadium itself.
Okay.
Wow.
So I'm going to expand on this, and I'm going to amplify it, and I don't know what the other word is.
I'm going to blank it.
That's why I'm so good at radio. But I've been to St. Andrews, and I've been to the British Open. I was there when Jack Nicklaus played his last, you know, said farewell on the bridge, that little bridge thing, which is, again, very descriptive. But at St. Andrews, at the old course, it's not hard. It's less than a 10-minute walk, actually less than a 7-minute walk. Probably if you walk fast, less than a 4-minute walk from the first tee
to the bookies.
There's a book that you could, on your way there, you could get a cup of coffee and place your wager.
The thing about it is it makes it such more of an accepting culture over there.
That's what I'm saying.
All the major sports organizations have relationships with the sports books. So if there's any sort of irregular betting, whether it's impropriety in darts, snooker, soccer, or golf, they immediately alert the proper governing bodies to try and take that advantage, nip it in the butt. The thing that we've seen so often in tennis is as soon as these sports betting scandals take place, there's no way for a lot of these guys to fly under the radar, and I think that's one of the things we don't do in this country. We just assume, or I shouldn't say we, the major sports organizations, that if they don't legalize it, it's not going to go on. Instead, because it's all under the radar, and Vegas represents such a small component of legalized sports wagering, that you just don't know if there's anything going on that shouldn't be going on as far as players being paid, bought off, or the integrity of the game being questioned.
Or NBA officials.
Okay. And everybody knows that's listening to this show that you're aligned with the gambling industry, so we all know where your point of view is from. But I want you to expand on this idea that if you made gambling more widespread in the United States, it would be more regulated and it would be more controlled rather than Sodom and Gomorrah
moves
into Peoria, Illinois.
It definitely would, and I'm a big fan of transparency. Now, I won't be as naive to say that the widespread legalization of sports gambling wouldn't come with a couple social problems that are inherent with
just
it,
like
whether
drinking.
It's problem gambling and the ability for people to get themselves into trouble, since a lot of studies do say that online gambling can be more problematic than other forms. But the reality of it is a lot of this mindset is much different. We've seen casinos popped up everywhere in almost every jurisdiction in the country, and the fact that sports gambling still carries this taboo is absolutely mind-boggling to me at the same time, where it's widely accepted throughout the rest of the world.
Okay, and the taboo that's carried with it is kind of what I'd like to focus on, because I am, of the three of us, the conspiracy theorist. And
Illuminati.
Exactly. I'm a firm believer that the powers
What's
that be...
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
I am Mulder. The powers that be know that they make far more, or far more can be made, if it's not regulated. Because then it's regulated, then everybody can be in your pockets, and then everybody's sharing in the wealth. Am I crazy for feeling that way?
No, there's obviously somebody benefiting from all this, and I think when you look at how staunch a stance the NFL takes against gambling, saying, "Oh, it doesn't go on," yet they'll come out and openly endorse fantasy football on a regular basis. Let's not kid ourselves that there's a complete overlap between those two activities. So someone is definitely making money off of this. But when you look at the budget deficit and some of the other large issues, The amount of taxable revenue that would be there from sports betting is absolutely mind-boggling. I really believe if the four sports organizations got on the same page, you'd see things start to move forward. The NFL clearly doesn't need it for its popularity, but if you're going to talk about a way to put baseball, the NHL, and not quite the NBA, back on the map, sports betting is going to be the number one driver for it, because even if you have a $5 bet, those ratings are going to go up. And I'll cite Tuesday and Wednesday Sunbelt and MAC football as my primary examples for that.
Todd Furman joining the press box live from Las Vegas. Todd, 10-game homestand for the Rockies. Is this right? I started looking at the NL West. Dodgers 9-1 to win the World Series. Diamondbacks 20-1. The Giants, who are left for dead, 33-1. But the Rockies are 66-1. Is that kind of a ballpark figure?
Yeah, the Rockies' number has really come down. A lot of skepticism out here about the pitching staff, although the offense now as healthy as it's been in recent months, I should say, getting Tulo back in the mix and Dexter Fowler right before the break to add to Cargo and Kadir there. But you look at this pitching staff, and that's where the real concern comes in. But because the Dodgers have had such a run and those odds have adjusted rapidly, you can find a ton of value in the other NL West teams. Just to put it in perspective, guys, 3 weeks ago, the Dodgers were about 6 or 7-1 just to win the division. Now you're looking at them at 9-1 to win the entire National League, and you've seen a complete flip that you can get everybody else in the field to win the National League West at plus money, because you'd have to put up $1.50 to bet the Dodgers to win the West.
Okay, let us ask a British Open question. Who went off the favorites? Who were the favorites to win, and what did the peeps or the smart money say about Tiger's chances this weekend?
Tiger was, of course, the favorite for this tournament. He ended up closing around 8.5-1 before the Open started. Coming into round two today, he was down to 5-2, so that number had come down considerably after his decent performance yesterday. The thing with Tiger, when you look at the betting boards, is he really allows bookmakers to offer value on everybody else. Tiger was the only golfer listed at a price of less than 20-1 before the event started, and a lot of those golfers in that 20 to 25 range are all fan favorites. Your Phil Mickelsons, your Rory McIlroys, your Justin Rose, Adam Scott. So there was quite a bit of movement on the board, and there will be throughout the weekend, because this major, more so than any other, really opens itself up to guys bursting from off the pace to have a chance to win it. Like we saw last year, Ernie Els opened at 150-1 to win the Open before he was bet down throughout the course of the weekend.
Okay, I want to go back and just tell you a little story about me real quick. Just
get around the campfire, kids.
Yeah, no, this
Uncle Kid's going to tell us a story.
Tell us a story, kids.
Because Todd's telling us about how gambling's a taboo in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the name of it? It's Ladbrokes in the UK or whatever. It's a gambling shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in there before just to see what it looks like, you know. Is it, are there guys smoking, or, you know, or the, you know, what is it like? And I got to tell you, as an American, I walk in there and I'm like, I'm like walking into a strip club or something.
Like you feel bad.
I feel bad. I literally felt like somebody's going to see me do this.
You're gonna wear overcoat.
God's going to see me do this, and he's going to send me straight to Hades. And I think that's part of what people in America think, that gambling is evil. Heck, we all
do it.
I mean, lotto tickets, whatever. However you do it. I can't bet on sports because my paper says I can't.
Right.
But we all gamble. I'm in the stock market, for crying out loud. That's gambling.
Why is it this way? And you look at, you know, the stance from whether it's the federal government or anybody else involved, and it's just such a disconnect for how all this stuff operates. You alluded to Ladbrokes, one of the bigger betting shops over there. But it's a free market, and there's a lot of different shops that continue to offer some of these services and amenities, and it's much more generally accepted as a part of the culture throughout the UK than it is. Even here in Nevada, you look at some of the product that we offer as far as odds offerings, we're about 5 to 7 years behind the rest of the world.
Wow.
And, you know, as if we don't catch up anytime soon, you see innovation start to go out the window. But when you have a captive audience who can only bet legally here, there's no reason to try and innovate, to try and progress, and to try and provide some of those different options that you're going to find if you were to travel internationally.
He's always one of the best follows on Twitter, especially in the gaming industry. You can follow him there at Todd Furman in Vegas. All right, man, we'll see you in a couple of weeks where you're going to head up for a Broncos game, all right?
I'm definitely looking forward to it. Hey, guys, I know it's the first time I've talked to you about. Congrats on the TV show. I watched yesterday for the first time. Hopefully all the listeners are taking advantage and watching on a nightly basis as well.
See that? What's I pay up, him $20 and he says
that. Plug.
That's
why we like him.
Todd, you go have a good weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, thanks, guys. You do the same.
There it is, Todd Furman from Las Vegas. Easily our